Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The population of Annapolis has gone down this morning. State senators and delegates are home or heading home. Before their legislative session ended at midnight, they raised the minimum wage to $10.10 by 2018 and expanded the school day for some preschoolers. Joining me now to talk about the newly passed bills and what the governor is likely to sign this morning is Chris Connolly, WIPR Statehouse reporter. He's on the line from Annapolis. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
Also joined by Jenna Johnson, Maryland politics reporter for the Washington Post. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning.
First, let's talk about the measures that came in under the wire or didn't yesterday. Let's start with marijuana decriminalization. Jenna, tell us what that measure would do.
So what that would do is take away the criminal penalties if you're caught with a small amount of marijuana. That means, you know, 10 grams or less, you would get a civil citation, sort of like a parking ticket or a traffic ticket, instead of getting a criminal charge.
Did this pass easily, or was it tough to get through?
You know, it looked like it was dead a few days ago, and the committee chairman in the House, who oversees these sorts of bills, did not want it going through. And members of the House kind of rose up in defiance and got it pushed through over the weekend.
Governor O'Malley has a tough on crime image. What's he likely to do with this marijuana decriminalization bill? Will he sign it?
He said that he will sign it, that his feelings about decriminalization have evolved over time, ever since he was a young prosecutor and thought that would be the worst possible thing that you could do.
Lawmakers also passed another measure dealing with medical marijuana. Chris, what happened there?
Right. So basically, this was an attempt to fix what they did last year. Last year, they voted to legalize medical marijuana, and they pretty much left it to research universities to set up a medical marijuana program to actually get the drug to patients. None of the universities have been interested. Nobody set it up. And so this was an attempt to basically set up a medical pot industry. There was a lot of debate about how many growers there should be, how many licenses to grow should be given out by the state. The House wanted to limit it, and the Senate said, you know, that would just create a monopoly in the end. They agreed on 15 licenses and leave it up to the Medical Marijuana Commission to decide if that's enough, and the Medical Marijuana Commission can allow for more growers.
And doctors, would any doctor be able to prescribe medical marijuana?
Yeah, any physician can, and any board-certified physician can prescribe.
And Chris, a week and a half ago, we talked about a bill to change how to decide who can get out on bail when they're arrested. It was a response to a Maryland appeals court ruling that defendants have a right to a lawyer when bail is set. Tell us about the bill. What happened to it?
Right. So the bill that seemed like it might be the answer to this was a bill from Senator Brian Frosch that essentially would set up a computerized risk assessment tool. Maryland has an interesting, sort of unique way of doing bail. You do a first hearing in front of a commissioner who's not a judge, who's usually based, you know, they have them based in the jails, and they make an initial determination. They say, you know, either you can go on your own recognizance, or they set what they think is an appropriate bail. You're held till the next day when you go and see a judge who actually reviews the bail decision. The Richmond case, basically said that defendants have a right to a lawyer at that first step. And so this computerized risk assessment tool would essentially replace the commissioners, would replace that first step, so that the state doesn't have to hire a whole bunch of lawyers to represent defendants at that stage.
Except that the bill didn't pass, so is the state going to have to hire a whole bunch of lawyers?
Well, yes. At least in the immediate future, that's really the only option, because nothing else came through the legislature to actually deal with the decision. So what they did is the public defender's office has been saying, you know, about $30 million is what it would cost to hire enough public defenders to represent people in all of these commissioner hearings. What the state did is they took a slightly different tack and a cheaper tack, and they added about $10 million for courts, so that the courts essentially...
We're having some trouble with your phone, Chris. I'm going to tell everybody that was Chris Connolly, WIPR State House reporter, here on Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, and also with us is Jenna Johnson, Maryland politics reporter for The Washington Post. And while we try to make a new connection with Chris, let me ask you, Jenna, about the measure called Jake's Law, which increases penalties for drivers who cause crashes while using their cell phones. How would that work?
So this targets drivers on cell phones who cause very serious crashes, crashes that kill another person or seriously injure another person. And the law is named for Jake Owen, who's a 5-year-old from Baltimore, who was killed in one of these crashes back in 2011. And the law will increase penalties. The driver involved with Jake's case went to trial and ended up walking away with about $1,000 in fines. And so this would, drivers who are found guilty of, you know, talking on their cell phone, texting, Facebook updating, surfing their email, anything like that, get into a serious crash, kill or seriously injure someone else, they would face up to a year in jail and a $5,000 fine.
I see. And there are also, Jenna, several bills that passed dealing with the Common Core curriculum. What are some of the major changes there?
Yeah, so a lot of these bills kind of lined up with things that the Department of Education is already doing or already trying to do. Maryland schools are racing to implement these new education standards on a pretty quick timetable, and that's raised a lot of questions about, you know, at which point in the process should student test scores on a brand new test be used in evaluating a teacher. And one of the pieces of legislation delays that until the test has been offered a few times and can be trusted as a way to grade teachers. There's also another bill that will set up a committee to kind of field information and complaints and concerns about implementation of Common Core. But with a lot of these bills, they kind of lined up with things that the Department of Education was already doing and gave lawmakers an opportunity to stand up on the floor of their chamber and speak out against Common Core ahead of the election.
One bill that went down to the wire last night, lawmakers, I guess, just ran out of time to deal with the film tax credit. I thought that was part of the budget, and the budget passed on Saturday. I thought that there was more money for tax credits for companies that film TV and movies in Maryland. What didn't happen?
Yeah, this was a nail-biter and a little bit of drama right up to the deadline. Every year, Maryland sets aside $7.5 million to reward production companies that film in Maryland. But that money just doesn't cover big name productions like House of Cards. And so each year, the state's film czars have to come crawling back to Annapolis and ask for more money. And last year, they got $25 million. This year, they were looking for $18.5 million. The legislation did not pass, but there is still going to be $15 million set aside, the original $7.5 million. And then lawmakers had kind of stashed another $7.5 million in the budget, earmarking funds that were already there and could be used. So $3.5 million were lost in the shuffle, and it's still unknown if Maryland will be able to, you know, meet the financial needs of House of Cards and keep them in the state or not.
Yeah, that ongoing drama. Chris, we have saved the governor's highest priority until we got you back on the line, the minimum wage. We have just a minute left. So can you tell us briefly what has happened with the minimum wage?
Right. So just to take us back, what was originally pitched by the governor was raising the minimum wage to $10.10 by July of 2016. He wanted it pegged to inflation after that point so that it raised itself with the cost of living. And he wanted a raise for tipped workers. And what came through was a bit off from that. So it still gets to $10.10. It does it 2 years later than when the governor wanted to do it. So July 2018. We'll get to $10.10. Lawmakers stripped out that inflation peg. And for tipped workers, what they did was they actually froze the current tipped worker rate indefinitely. So no raise for tipped workers, and the percentage of their wage to the minimum wage will go down over time.
And so the first installment of the higher minimum wage comes.
That's going to be in January 1, 2015. It'll go up to $8.
Okay. There's lots more that the legislature did and lots more I'd like to talk to you about, but we are flat out of time. I want to thank you both. Chris Connolly, WIPR State House reporter, Jenna Johnson, the Maryland politics reporter for The Washington Post. More information about the legislative session on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Just ahead, the checkup, how Connecticut's health exchange could work here. Stay with us.